Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today. Also, Dave Buhner in studio with us today. We try to take a look at the news around us through the eyes of a biblical perspective on things, and also through the eyes of fathers. No experts in studio at all. Friends, we're not talking about psychologists here, psychiatrists, no politicos, no doctors, no lawyers, just a couple of dads taking in what's happening as the Western civilization dies around us, and the state of the family is dismal. The faith is disappearing, and freedoms have dissipated over the last several generations. Ladies and gentlemen, some crazy things happening in the economy these days. Here's an interesting study that was done by the National Bureau of Economic Research. Apparently, the researchers from George Washington School of Business, Princeton University, Harvard Business School asked survey participants whether, and these were Americans, whether or not they could come up with $2,000 for an unexpected expense in the next month. About 50% of Americans said they couldn't do it. They couldn't come up with $2,000. They're living on the edge, friends. The vast majority of Americans are living on the edge. They lose their job, it's over. They're not going to survive. And Dave, at one time, people had a little bit of padding. You had a bad year. I mean, we're talking about a bad week. You had a bad year and you didn't get a good crop. You had enough money to survive at least a year or two. In the case of Joseph, they had enough to survive for 7 years. In that case, of course, back in the Genesis chapter 46 through 48. But your average person today, they just assume that somehow the corporations will take care of them. They assume the government's going to take care of them. This is what you get with the nanny state, Dave. You get people who will not take care of themselves. And it's unfortunate. They just seem to just survive paycheck to paycheck. They haven't saved anything. They don't have anything for a rainy day, let alone a bad, bad crop that may show up every year or two. And of course, the big issue is they're in debt up to their eyeballs, and they have these huge payments on their cars, their houses, everything that's necessary for life. They got credit cards run up to the wazoo, and they've got, of course, college debts, which right now exceed credit card debt for the first time in American history. That's right, friends. There's more college debt out there than credit card debt in this country, thanks to the fact that that college fees have gone up 900% in just the last 25 years.
Kevin, we do have a standard of living that's beyond our means. But one of the problems, and I think you alluded to this, is that when the government creates a safety net that feels a bit more like a hammock than a safety net, in other words, you don't fall. You don't fall far. Certainly not far if you lose your job and you go on welfare and food stamps and all the other programs that the government is just in its benevolence wanting to give to you to make you dependent on the drug of the state. It's very tempting not to live very high above that safety net or that hammock, as it were.
Well, free food is being handed out everywhere. There's one school district out in Grants Pass, Oregon. My father referred to this in an email this morning. He said they're planning a meal program for 38 days at the local Grants Pass schools. They're planning on giving out 7,600 meals, and 61% of enrolled children are eligible to eat with the government instead of with their families. 61%, Dave. 61% of kids now eating off of the government. Not only is the government educating them, now the government's feeding them. You talk about Rousseau's abandoning his children on the steps of an orphanage and assuming the government's going to take care of them. That's what's going on with 61% of kids in this school district down in Grants Pass, Oregon. Obviously, Dave, parents are not raising children anymore. Nobody's really taking responsibility for their own families, or very few people take responsibility for their own families, and very few people take responsibility for their families in the sense that they're going to save for a rainy day. I mean, this is exactly what you get with the nanny state. Either you'll be governed by God, or by God, you are going to be governed. You're going to be tyrannized because God sovereignly will see that tyranny coming down on you because you don't have the character, because you're not living by the moral standards of God's word, and you're certainly not taking on a biblical socio-economic system as you raise your family, as you lead your family, as you provide for your family. That's not the kind of world we live in anymore, friends.
It brings new meaning to the phrase, who's your daddy? In this case, it's the government, right? Yeah. The government's your daddy. The government's your provider. They'll discipline you or tell the parents how much they can discipline you. And watch for that coming, too. Parents are not going to be allowed to discipline their children much longer in the United States, especially when things like the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child becomes law, if it does become law. And we're praying that God would not allow that to happen. But what happens in a country like this, you have a failure at the macro level, Kevin, and at the micro level. At the macro level, you have socialist systems that are breaking jurisdiction. They're coming into the homes. They're telling parents what they can and can't do. They're destroying opportunity. That's a macro problem. But that macro problem is a series of micro problems. After all, the leaders we get are the leaders we elect. But what's happening, of course, is that people live irresponsibly. The government comes in and says, hey, you know, I'll take care of your irresponsible behavior if you just give me a little more power. And this goes on at both levels. Mm-hmm. The government wants the power, they're power hungry, and the people want irresponsibility. They're irresponsible, and they feed off of each other until we have total tyranny.
Yeah, and total disaster. I mean, granted, total tyranny is usually just before total disaster. What the government funds, the government controls. What the government controls, the government destroys, especially when it comes to the covenant units of the church and the family. We've learned that in history, if we learned anything. And the government has destroyed the family, at least in the inner cities, and is increasingly destroying the family in the suburbs, and then increasingly destroying the family in the rural areas, increasingly destroying the family everywhere, because the family has become obsolete in the postmodern age. But for friends, we're assuming the family is important, and if you break down the family, you break down the character of the nation, you break down the character of the nation, you may increase socialist controls and promise to control, to fund a womb-to-tomb security for people, but eventually you're going to find that this system will break down as well, as socialist systems have broken down in time past. There were some Chinese dynasties that chose to run the country by means of socialism, government schools, government social security programs, etc., etc. It didn't last all that long, maybe 100 years, maybe 150 years, but socialism is not going to last that long. It's going to dissipate, and at that point, I guess somebody's going to have to learn character or die. As the old proverb comes from the Gods of the Copybook Headings of Rudyard Kipling, he said, if you don't work, you die. The Gods of the Copybook Headings, with terror and slaughter return, the Gods of the Copybook Headings say, if you don't work, you die. And that's the lesson people are going to have to learn, but it's going to be really, really, really hard to learn for those who haven't learned how to be responsible enough to take care of their own families and work for a living. With 70% of young men not growing up by 30 years of age, Dave, it's doubtful that kind of thing is going to happen anytime soon.
It's going to take a fundamental paradigm shift.
It's going to
economically
happen.
Speaking, we're going to have to think about how much we're putting into an economy rather than how much we're taking out. That's a fundamental change of thinking, Kevin, that we want to think of ourselves as producers rather than as consumers. It's going to be a fundamental change in thinking to realize that we do the work and God gives the increase. I mean, all of these things are going to be radical paradigm shifts, and it's going to take character, honesty, and truth, a whole different way of doing many different things than we're doing right now. Yeah. And I'm not sure that we don't love our slavery too much until this whole system comes down on our heads that we'll abandon it.
Well, meantime, the government's spending 63% of the GNI. Tax Freedom Day is now August 17th, August 19th, somewhere in that neck of the woods. The government is spending 63% of the GNI, and some of us are sitting around scratching our heads trying to figure out exactly what they do with 63% of the GNI. They don't really make our food for us. They don't make our agriculture for us. They don't make our products for us. They don't make anything really useful to us, but they do spend 63% of the gross national income doing something. We're not really sure what they're doing with 63% of the GNI, but this morning, Fox News, Dave, we just popped up on our screens, 63% of the GNI. Part of it's going to exercise shrimp.
Shrimp aren't getting their own exercise?
No, they're putting shrimp on treadmills. This is part of the National Science Foundation's projects.
Okay.
They put the shrimps, apparently $2 million to put shrimps on treadmills. It keeps them in good shape.
In good shape?
Yeah.
Because apparently we're getting fat shrimp? Is that?
I'm not sure.
I like healthy shrimp. So if you have healthy shrimp and you eat a healthy shrimp diet, you'll be eating a healthy shrimp diet, I guess.
Yeah.
So do they like play aerobic music? Do they inspire them? Do they have little coaches?
Got to keep those legs going.
Yeah. Okay. I can just see it now. 5, 6, 7, 8. Now go, shrimp. Go with your front arms. Now your middle arms. Come on. Now your lower middle arms.
Come on. Get them moving.
Get your tail side to side. Move it. 6, 7, 8. And
go,
do it.
Go, shrimp. Go, shrimp. Go, shrimp. Ladies and gentlemen,
at the end of the exercise, you eat them.
63% of the GNI going to exercise shrimp, thanks to the National Science Foundation. And that's not free market, just for those of you who are interested.
You mean shrimp farmers aren't doing it?
No.
Shrimp eaters aren't doing it?
No.
The restaurants aren't doing it?
Eating the shrimp and getting the shrimp into the free market. Well, folks, we're going to come back and talk about public school funding in just a moment. Evidently, 63% of the gross national income, not enough to pay for the education of your children. Public school fees going way up.
And how's that compare to homeschooling your own children, just giving up on the whole socialist system and saying, hey, I can just do this myself? We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us. Folks, believe it or not, this is our eighth year on the air. Our first broadcast was October 3rd, 2003. From the beginning, we produced the program as a commercial endeavor, and then 2 years ago decided to rely entirely on listener support. And by God's grace, we're making some progress. But this is fundraising month. Each year during May, we target 100 sponsors to keep us on the air for one more year. And we're hoping that by God's grace, we will be on the air for one more year. If you find the ideas helpful on this program, if you receive some discipleship, some encouragement yourself, please consider supporting our program. We know that we have about 500,000 listeners a year from 80 countries around the world. We have people in Sweden, Ireland, Australia, England, many of whom have no other encouragement for the kind of ideas they get on this program. But they get it here on Generations. They're encouraged every day by what they hear on this radio broadcast from my basement out on the eastern plains of Colorado. So if you listen to the program or watch us, you know what we're all about. Family, fathers, freedom, faith, home-based discipleship, family-based economies, relationships in a cold and lonely world, worldview and discipleship, truth and relationships, a vision for future generations. That's what we're all about. And we are so privileged to get the very best speakers, pastors, fathers, Christian leaders in the country, talk about worldview and family issues. Folks like Mike Farris, Ken Ham, Vody Baucham, Al Mohler's been here, Paul David Tripp, R.C. Sproul, Phyllis Schlafly, David Noble, Tim Challies, Nancy Percy, Wayne Grudem, Sam Crabtree, and Dave. Dave Buhner, he's a regular on the program. Well, folks, we don't get a lot of psychobabble flim-flam on this program, because we don't want to raise up more weaky-weaky fruits for generations to come. Our desire is a vision that will cast for future generations and will encourage and inspire many generations and hopefully rebuild faith, family, and freedom during the breakdown of Western civilization. That's what we're doing out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. If you'd like to support the program, just simply go to our website, kevinswanson.com, and click on Support the Program and join our fundraising campaign for May. Our target is 100 sponsors for the month of May. 100 sponsors for the month of May at $10 a month, $20 a month, or $50 a month, or even a one-time donation. Friends, if you would like to support the program, kevinswanson.com. That's kevinswanson.com. You are listening to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Also, Dave Buhner in studio with me right now. And friends, talking a little bit about whether the government should be funding our children's education and food, or should we take responsibility for these things ourselves? Interesting story this morning just popped to me from Wall Street Journal, WSJ.com. Stephanie Simon does an extensive story on public school funding. This is very interesting, friends. By the way, I think, if I'm not mistaken, this also showed up in USA Today. So this is really interesting stuff. And what's happening is, because of the present recession, the schools are passing on all kinds of fees. We're talking the public schools. That's right, the free schools are passing on the fees to the families. This particular family, the Dumbies family, had to pay for basic courses like Spanish 1, Earth Sciences, et cetera, et cetera. And the family's total tab for the year of public education, 1 year of public education, Dave, total tab, $4,446.50.
$4,400. That's a lot of money for free education.
I know, especially after the government got done with spending $10,000 per student, depending on the state. I'm not sure where. This is Ohio. But my guess is they're spending anywhere between $7,000 and $9,000 per student. It wasn't enough. Had to find these families up to about $4,446 to make it happen for the family. Friends, I would suggest to you that homeschooling is a little cheaper than that. Of course, you don't get the double income family, and that may be a drawback for some families. But increasingly, these senior highs are imposing fees on families. It's happening everywhere, largely because they're not getting quite as much money from the government as they would like. And the expense for educating these students apparently is on the rise. and these parents are having to spend some $4,000. The Dombey family included $75 in generic school fees, $118 for materials used in biology, physics, and other academic courses, $263 for advanced placement exams, $3,990 to participate in track and band. That's not counting the $2,716 they paid in property taxes, specifically earmarked for the schools. Friends, I'm not saying that public schools are spending the money efficiently, but I will say that it's very, very, very difficult to educate children when you lose the biblical concept of education and you separate education from the training of character and the fear of God. Dave, I think everything gets really, really expensive when you abandon biblical principles. For example, divorce. When you abandon biblical principles in the family, in the area of marriage, and you divorce, you find out that divorce is extremely expensive. I mean, you wind up with two households. You wind up with lots and lots and lots of expenses in the divorce. And the end result is a lot lower standard of living, especially for the single mom, if the children are living with them, for the children as well. So friends, if you don't play by God's rules, it's going to be really, really expensive. And the breakdown of character within our systems, of course, has made education extremely expensive. We have seen an increase in the price of education for the average kid increase by about 300% adjusted for inflation over the last 35 years. So, It's been a huge, huge increase, and I think parents and systems have to pay for the fact that they're not able to teach the character that's ultimately rooted in the book of Proverbs. Dave, I mean, our system of education is typically presented as fairly simple. You start with the Word of God as the core education. I mean, if you just trust the Word of God on this. Teach the Word of God as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. It doesn't say teach algebra, geometry, geography. It doesn't say track and field. It doesn't say any of that. It says focus on teaching the Bible to your children. If they learn the book of Proverbs, they learn the books of Psalms inside and out, they learn the Gospels, they learn the book of Genesis as about half of the history of the world. If they learn the things that are important, the rest will come naturally. It won't be expensive. It won't be high tech. Excuse me. Things become very expensive and difficult when we abandon the principles.
Kevin, it's ironic. It just blows my mind that in public schools in Ohio, you must pay for a class like English, but you can't opt out of sex education. You must pay for earth science, but you can't opt out of the global warming classes. You must pay for those classes that would be the reading, writing, arithmetic classes that we used to call education, but you cannot opt out. You must attend transgendered studies about being kind to Muslims, et cetera, et cetera. So on the one hand, the very thing that you thought you send your child to learn, they're not learning unless you pay extra. And the very things you didn't want your child to learn, they must attend and they must learn. Kevin, it's not just that the students don't have character. It's the system. The schools themselves have no character. They're destroying character. They're utterly trying to, I guess they're trying. I don't know their motives. But it looks to me like the administrators, like the curriculum planners, those who are laying down the systems are intentionally trying to destroy character.
Here's a family, Fotherington family, somewhere in Ohio, paid $850 last year for her son's education. $850. I mean, that's a lot of money. I don't think we spent more than $500 last year for our children's education. I mean, all five children's education. We spent probably somewhere around $500 for everyone, five children's education. $500, friends. This woman spent $850 in the public schools, in the free schools.
But your
and that's been
and
one of the motivating forces
good.
For people going into the public schools. They say, well, at least we paid for them by our taxes. I mean, paid $3,000 in property taxes. We got to take advantage of it. Well, listen, you're still going to be paying fees. And those fees will add up. And that doesn't count all your school clothes and, you know, you got to stay up with the fashions. And your children begin to expect certain things because all the other kids have certain things. That doesn't count the amount of money it takes to spend in the school to cafeterias if you don't wind up receiving the free lunches, which I guess 63% of them do. Moreover, Dave, the real fundamental problem here is these schools aren't teaching the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. I mean, if they did, I think you'd wind up with UCL or ACLU. If they did, you would wind up with ACLU suits all over the place. I'm granted there's probably some teachers out there that are teaching the fear of God in these classrooms. I would say it's few and far between. But they're not learning the basics. Again, the basics. What's the simple basic for the education of a child? Proverbs 1:7. That's the simple basic. If they're not teaching the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge in those classrooms, friends, you're getting ripped off. It's a really, really bad deal. Moreover, Dave, you know, this is the redistribution of the wealth, something that Israel Wayne has pointed out on his blog a couple of times. He says, hey, the big problem with the public schools is you're stealing from your neighbor. You're taking a baseball bat to your neighbor and saying, hey, give me $4,000 for my kid's education or I'm going to beat you to death or I'm going to put you in prison for the next 6 or 7 or 8 or 10 years. I'm going to make you pay for my kid's school lunches. I'm going to make you pay for my kid's education. Or I'm going to put you in the hospital, man. Dave, I mean, I think anybody in the right mind would say that's just wrong. But what about this idea of running down to the state legislature and saying, hey, maybe I can get the state legislature to do the same thing. I'll get him to take the baseball bat down to my neighbor. And if my neighbor doesn't cough up the money for my kid's education, he'll put him in prison. I don't think there's a whole lot of difference between those two approaches, Dave.
Well, one uses the power of the sword and the government that was instituted by God to be given to the sword. So it's legitimately handing the sword to basically rob from your neighbor. The other is just robbing from your neighbor direct, cutting out the middleman. Kevin, nothing is expensive as something that's free from the government. There's nothing so expensive in the world as free things from the government. I mean, I look here at some of the fees that are listed in this article. The high school that we worship in Castle Rock, kids have to pay $180 to ride the school bus.
No way. I didn't know that.
It says right here, $180 fee.
For the school bus. On that article.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And right next to it is another school in Illinois where it costs $60 for a parking permit. So they'll get you either coming or going. I guess there's probably a walker fee somewhere.
Dave, here's something we forgot. A lot of these kids wind up driving to school.
Or
their parents drive them to school. And you take your average high school, say in Doug County or Elbert County, you're probably driving 15, 20 miles a day, both directions. All right, so that's 30, 40 miles a day. Wear and tear, you're looking at approximately 15, 20 bucks a day, you know, in wear and tear and gas fees. 15, 20 bucks a day and getting your kid back and forth from the high school, that adds up to 75 bucks a week. Multiply 30, 40 weeks, you're up to $2,000, $3,000 just for transportation, getting your kid to the school. Okay, I guess you could ride the bus for 180 bucks, but you're still looking at $2,000 to $3,000 in getting your kid to school. So add all that together, you're already up to $5,000 to $6,000 for your children, getting them into school, getting their school clothes, getting them all the fees paid, getting them into the extracurricular activities. You're looking at $5,000 to $6,000, and here I am in humble little Elbert County, homeschooling five of my children, and I'm paying what, $500 a year? Dave, I mean, there's a huge difference here. Now, granted, if your wife is out there getting the second income and she's got the career job and you don't really have any relationships that are super meaningful in the home and you're not really developing any kind of family economy, your children aren't really involved in the family economy in any sense, you're not really saving an inheritance for your children's children, you're waiting for them to emancipate, you're just hoping and praying that they will emancipate at 18 years of age and they'll get the $200,000 from grants and from government loans in order to get them through college. So again, trying to hook them up to the public trough in order to make sure that they are way, way, way more connected to the state than they are to the family. In the end, Dave, I think you've got a different social system operating there as well. My interest is to establish a family economy. We've got, you know, not just a one-income family here, a two-income family. We got a seven-income family. Everybody's busy. We obviously have some books that we're studying. The kids are studying 2, 3, 4 hours a day or whatever they're doing these days. But they're also involved in all the family projects. I mean, we've got probably 7 to 8 projects going on at any given point in time. And our children are involved in all of these things. So I don't think we're losing any money at all. In fact, I think we're getting ahead of the average family with everything that we're doing and all the money we're saving and not sending them off to school to fritter away many, many, many hours in public schools where it's extremely inefficient to get an education these days.
Well, it turns out that in my home school, you can belong to the Honor Society without having to pay a fee. I see here that to be an honor student, you got to pay a fee. You want to play football, you got to pay a fee.
For an Honor Society?
Yes.
That's not very honorable.
Well, it's expensive to be better than your peers.
Incredible. And we're talking about Colorado schools here. I noticed that. Yeah, you've got Littleton schools Douglas County. I mean, this is incredible, friends. The kind of money people are paying to attend public schools.
If you want to be a member of the club Students Against Drug Driving, it'll cost you $200 in New Jersey. If you want to be a member of the,
I think I'll skip that club.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go do something profitable.
But if you want to be part of the Literary Magazine Club in New Jersey, it also costs you $200. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's for subscriptions.
Dave, I mean, talk about your son. I mean, is he paying a lot of fees for his education?
Actually, Kevin,
Derek's doing really well. I mean, he's not paying a lot of fees.
My son is actually...
He's even in a woodworking class. Now, how much is he paying for the woodworking class?
Well, it's occupying him.
Yeah, but he's not paying a lot in fees. I mean, he didn't have to pay fees to sign up for the woodworking class.
No, he's... He's
actually raking in the bucks, ladies and gentlemen. You're being a little modest here.
Well, he pays
the kid's 15 years old, and he's sold, what, 15 bunk beds last week?
I don't know what it was.
Whatever it was, the kid is raking in the bucks. He had to go down to Walmart to get rakes. And he picked up a few 2x4s and made a few more bunk beds. I mean, 15 years of age.
It might be like the rabbit story.
Oh, you're right.
You might need to be licensed to make.
You might have to be licensed to make these things. We don't want to look into that right now. But, I mean, guys, we got a family economy going on. We got guys getting educated in the Dave Buhner household. And they don't have to pay money for their woodworking class. What'd you sell those bunk beds for?
Not enough. Not enough. He'd
it's like
sell less of you.
$250
About $250 a bed. Yeah,
and then the deluxe one with the fins,
with the drawers and the whole thing.
Fins,
yeah,
that's like $400 or something.
Probably. Yeah. Something like that.
The kid's 15 years old and he's doing really, really well, and he's not attending a school at the tune of $4,000 in fees, and by the way, a $10,000 price tag to the taxpayers.
But his transportation costs are significant because...
Why is that? He's got to make it down to Home Depot all the time.
He's got to walk from the house to the garage.
Oh, he's got to walk from the house to the garage to get it done. That's where the woodworking class happens. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, just talking about the practical issues of home educating our children and establishing family economies, something that Dave Buhner's been doing for a number of years. And I want to commend you for that, my friend. Good stuff going on in the Buhner household. Very, very happy with the way your son has developed over the years.
You know, it is a blessing to see that he's going to take some dominion over something. And, you know, this wasn't something that I pushed on him. This was, he listened to too many generations programs and went to too many family economics conferences.
No.
Light bulb said, bing, I'm not going to college.
What he did,
I don't want to go to college.
What he did,
I want
he
to
went
do
to
something.
Craigslist and found out that people were getting $300 for bunk beds. And he just sat down on a piece of paper. And I think you had taught him simple multiplication.
Yeah.
He thought, I make 10 bunk beds a week. Okay, 10 bunk beds a week at $250. That's $2,500 a week. The guy just did a little math.
I mean, he did a little math.
250 times 10. That's what he did. You taught him a little math. He went to Craigslist. Just admit it. That's what happened.
That's what happened. But you see, now this education is so much fuller. He's learning business. He's learning communication. He has to write emails. He has to learn how to talk on the phone to adults.
He's got all kinds of contract people working for him. Every time I turn around, there's somebody else working for him.
He's pretty good about eliciting labor.
He's got a photographer. Came down and took professional photographs of all this. This is a 15-year-old boy, friends.
And if you happen to come to the Czech conference,
he's not
say
paying
hi to
any
him.
Fees for his woodworking classes. Oh yeah, that's right. He's got his big display at the Czech conference coming up here in June. And hopefully, you're coming down to that family education, family economics conference here in Denver, Colorado. The Christian
by the way,
Colorado
that conference for a family to attend. Costs less than band does in some states.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good point. Yeah, you talk about the expenses for home education. You got to go to a conference once a year for like $69, okay? $69, that's it. Then you got to go buy up some books. And if you don't really need to buy books, by the way, you can run down to the library. You can go online. You can get encyclopedias. Remember the people who did wood schooling. I tell that story all the time, these homeschool conferences. A family went into the woods, and their daughter was 8 years old when they went into the woods. 12 years of age, the police find them. They give her the test because they want to figure out how badly this father has been doing in the woods education program for the daughter. And she tests out as a high school graduate at 12 years of age. And all they had was a set of encyclopedia books that they bought at a garage sale for $5 and a Bible. That was their curriculum. That was the core curriculum for their kids. A Bible and a set of encyclopedias. And they did really, really well with it. $5. It didn't cost all that much in the woods. Ladies and gentlemen, this whole high tech, I got to rob my neighbor by $10,000 in order to make this work. This whole scheme is a waste of money, a waste of time. And not the right approach to the education of a child. I would suggest the book of Proverbs again to you as God's curriculum and God's methodology in the education of a child. And that's why I've spent the last 2.5 years of my life putting together God's curriculum in education and just effectively putting a family commentary together for the book of Proverbs, which is God's curriculum for the education of a child. Our Proverbs study guides available at kevinswanson.com. And you can also hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. My name is Kevin Swanson. And I want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.